young boy, I was a scout, and the scout motto is, of course, be prepared. And so that just kind of stuck with me, and all through my life, I've just kind of kept that. So I have my case of water, my box of granola bars, and my bag of venison jerky when the apocalypse or tornado hits or whatever, you know. I just do, right? I just do. So I was in the doctor's office. I was sitting down, and there was the usual array of magazines. Went out there to get my flu shot, and doctor's office magazines, on the cover of those magazines were 100 best places to live, or 100 best places to visit, or whatever. You know, you get it. But there was one magazine that caught my eye as a Reader's Digest magazine. I asked if I could borrow it. It's a May 2019, right? And so I asked if I could borrow it. I said, of course. And on the front of it, it says, how to survive anything. You got it? So being prepared, I borrowed it. So I want to highlight some of the things I think we need to be prepared for. Here are some of the scenarios. There are a bunch of them, but here are some of them. A persistent telemarketer. Don't you laugh when you answer the phone and the first thing they say, please don't hang up, right? Or when you answer the phone and they say, today is your lucky day for you have been chosen, right? Yeah, right. They say, you know, Reader's Digest folks are a lot more polite than me. I just hang up, but they say, please don't call again. You know, that sort of thing. I just hang up. The second thing we need to be prepared for is how to survive a shark attack. Are you ready? Okay. Here it is. Maintain eye contact. Right. Create commotion, of course, right? Swim backwards. I don't know, you know. I might try walking on water about that time, you know. But I don't think we know when we're going to get hit by a shark attack, right? And so here's one I really like. Being cornered by someone with different political views. Yeah, all right. So the advice that they give is Nancy Reagan's advice. And Nancy Reagan's advice was to look at them and wonder what they look like as an infant. That way you can stay calm, right? That way you can stay calm. I love that. I love that advice. What to do when the pot is boiling over? They recommend you lay a wooden spoon across the mouth of the pot, and the wood's coolness will condense the steam and suppress the bubbles. I thought that was kind of helpful. Let's survive something. How to survive a bad haircut, right? Mousse, styling cream is what they advise. An airplane crash. You ready? According to Popular Mechanics, of which Reader's Digest is quoting, 69% of people who sat behind the wings of the airplane survived a crash, right? 69%. There we go. Now, the one that I want to focus on a little bit because it deals with the holidays is how to survive an awkward family gathering, right? Anybody have an awkward family gathering? Don't have to be an awkward family gathering. It could be awkward anything. Well, this is what they recommend. Four things. One, consider your watch or the clock and give a quick hello and leave. Oh, I got to go, right? Second one is busy yourself with the food. Help out with the kitchen or cleaning up, okay? Third one is if you know there's going to be somebody there, entrust a friend, entrust an ally, okay? And find a backup who'll save you in a pinch. So if you see me talking to so-and-so, come and get me out. And the fourth is to open the conversation first with a compliment and say, oh, there's whomever, and say, got to go say hi, and leave, okay? The biblical prophets were masters at being prepared, but not like in the silly situations I was telling you about. They set the bar high. They set the bar high. They confronted with a powerful message. Jerry read for us a couple of passages that from prophets. And when we read the Isaiah passage, it's like our hearts are warmed. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that nice? Right? And, he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion, the fatling together. Isn't that sweet? The cow and the bear shall graze. The lion and the ox shall eat straw. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the rattlesnake. Isn't that image just kind of peaceful image, right? The weaned child shall put his hand in the snake's den, right? They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. Now, doesn't that sound beautiful? But I want to go ahead and contextualize it a little bit. The Republican and the Democrat and the Communist and the Socialist will all enjoy Thanksgiving dinner together. Catch your attention? Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will live next door to each other and tweet each other first thing in the morning. Nice thing. The powerful words of Isaiah sound sweet to us. But what Isaiah is saying is that the power of the Messiah that will come will be able to do these things. Sounds sweet to us, but the power of the worship, the power of God, the power of the Messiah is so impactful, so strong that it's going to be able to, he's going to empower us to be able to do great things. Now, I have a sister. Oh, I love her. I really do. I'm not going to tell you her name. It's unimportant. If she had a flat tire and it was 2 o'clock on a cold, rainy, sleeting morning and she called me, I need help changing my flat. Will you help me? I would do it. But I don't like my sister. I love her, right? But I don't like her. And it's the power of the Messiah that makes me want to repent and try to love my sister every year. Let's take a look at another prophet, a New Testament prophet of John the Baptist. John the Baptist addressed his congregation as, "You brood of vipers." That'd be my last Sunday, but I'm not going to do that. But "You brood of vipers," you know? You think you get it just right. You're so wrong, John the Baptist is saying. You're so wrong about all what you do. And then John the Baptist says, "Bear fruit worthy of repentance." Now, when we think of fruit, we think of gentleness, kindness, self-control, faith, hope, love, you know, generosity, all those nice, wonderful, beautiful things. But John the Baptist's fruit of repentance is something that he's wanting us to do. Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Well, this is a season of Advent. What does it mean to bear fruit worthy of repentance? A friend of mine shared with me a parable. And the parable is, you know, some of you may have heard this one, but I think it's really good. And the parable is this. I love being a dad. I still love being a dad. It's more challenging as I get older and the kids get older. But when the children were real little, and I used to go pick them up at daycare or preschool or at the sitters, it didn't matter what they were doing as when they were little ones. They would drop their toys and run into my arms when they saw me. I just love those days, right? But as my children grew older, when they saw me to come pick them up, they didn't drop their toys and run into my arms. I had to drag them kicking and screaming. Jesus Christ tells us to be like a child. And what he means is that he wants us to be like that little child who drops everything and runs to the arms of the Father and Mother that loves us. If we spend too much time shopping and going to parties or staying in our living rooms watching TV depressed because of Christmas's past of people that are no longer with us, then we need to repent. We need to go to Jesus like that little child goes to their parent. Every day. The season of Advent is preparing for the coming of the Lord. And that's what Advent is about. So my friends, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the Lord is coming. Get ready. In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.